You are listening to Dancing with Life Radio here on the Creating Calm Network with your host, Carol Woodliffe, and co-host, Susan K. Wyatt. Hey, everybody. It's SK here. Welcome to the show today. For those of you who are joining us again and again, we're so happy you're here. For those of us who are joining us for the first time, as you don't know, Carol Woodliffe is a shaman and the author of the book From Scared to Sacred, Lessons in Learning to Dance with Life. And that's what we're doing here today. I am actually live in a car line picking up my daughter from her art camp. And so we're talking about going big, and we are talking about how we're going to do that together. And one of the things that we do together is we go fly by the seat of our pants. So while I'm doing that, I'm going to bring you the host of your show, Carol Woodliffe.
Hi, thanks, SK. Get your daughter, you know, talk to the people, tell them you're really your mom, her mom, not some crazy person pretending she's on the radio from her car. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, we're excited to be here. Actually, this morning I woke up and I realized I had not posted anything about the show. I had not chosen a topic for the show. And I was just kind of like, part of me was like, you know what? I don't have to do the show today. We could run a replay. And the other part of me said, just show up because you have this commitment. And the way you and SK do the show, it's very fluid. It's very fun. It doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be big. And then all of a sudden I went, but that's so much an issue of our life, of when things are up and then we need to show up. We need to follow through on our commitments, or we need to just take the next step. Sometimes things are really unclear and life's a mess and you just are like, okay, all I know to do today is to get up and take a shower, or all I know to do today is to make this one phone call. So we're really talking about showing up today, and just the fact that I had that moment this morning. I don't know if anybody else out there listening has ever had those moments where, you know, you're committed and you really want to do something. It could be from go to a party, or, you know, you were really excited about it, and all of a sudden your energy just drains, and you're like, oh, I don't want to go. But then you have that experience when you get yourself dressed and you go to the party that you didn't want to go to, and all of a sudden you have a great time. Or you sit down to write because you're committed to write the book, which SK and I are both working on books, and I have a writer's group that I'm working on. And you're thinking, I have nothing, I'm so tired. And you force yourself to sit down, and then things start to happen. Like, you get in the flow. So showing up is part of the thing that we have to do sometimes when we don't want to leave our pajamas or get out in the world. So we're going to talk about showing up today. And SK had to show up today in the car line at art camp. So she's, you know, multitasking, and I think it's fun that we get to do this and take the show on the road. But one of these days we're going to take the show on the road to someplace more fun than the art camp at the university at Laksa.
Yes, I do have confirmation. I have picked up the girl, and I am in the car, and we are showing up today here on the radio live from the streets of Los Angeles in my car. And so I am definitely multitasking today. But when you talked about showing up, something came up for Elizabeth and I. And, you know, if you're a listener of the show, you know that Elizabeth and I take karate together, and we are less than a month away from testing for our black belts. And it's really critical that we go to karate because every moment counts, and we are just tweaking everything that we're doing to get it to the level where we can get those black belts. And we were supposed to go on Monday, and neither of us felt like going. And, you know, I told her, she was super tired, and I said, you know what, I'm super tired too, but let's just show up. And I promise you that once you get moving, that you'll feel better. And she's like, I don't know if I believe you. And so we both went, and we smiled our way through it, and we worked our way through it. And all of that energy that flows when you're exercising at that high level of intensity really made us both feel amazing. And she said afterwards, Mom, I just feel great. And you could tell she was in such a great mood. And so, yeah, that was an example of we don't feel like going. I don't want to go. I can't do this. I don't feel like it. And, you know, it's something that we know we needed to do, and we both felt great. We're going to do that again tonight because we have spar night, which is the fight night, which is not my favorite thing. But I have to quit saying that because I am getting better and better at it, and so that's what we're doing. But we felt better, like you were talking about, once, you know, it's that, what is that anxiety? What is that push, that holdout? What is that, Carol?
Well, a lot of times it's resistance. You know, for example, I talked about, oh, you were looking forward to going to a party, and all of a sudden you don't want to get dressed and go. And there's a part of you that may be like, oh, I'm not going to know anybody there, or, you know, all sorts of old patterns can come up. It really is just about pushing out of your comfort zone, because nothing new, no new skill, you know, like karate, none of those things come. We don't just wake up and know how to do them. We have to push past not knowing, not feeling comfortable. And I think sometimes the more competent you are, the more you have that resistance to showing up places where you don't feel as competent or you don't feel, you know, as energized or that. But there is something in the consistency of doing it, of showing up for yourself. And I actually posted a question, you know, where do you have a hard time showing up for yourself? It's really interesting to notice, like, where we don't give ourselves that, well, I think I'm just not going to do it. And if you don't have a partner, like you and Elizabeth are kind of partnered together, sometimes it's really easy to just say, oh, it'd be easier not to go. Well it is, but you don't get anywhere.
Yes, well, that's why it's important. I always say, especially, I call it the buddy system, and I've talked about it before. Elizabeth and I definitely have that buddy system going in karate, and my bestest friend, Kristenita, I call her my bestest friend, she's my gym buddy, and she's my running buddy now. She didn't used to run, but we definitely show up for each other. But I'd like to back up the train to way, 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 way back. Not even to going. I'm talking about a truth speaker named Reverend Marilyn Roth. She used to be a minister at Unity of Pasadena. I'll never forget. She talked about in order to step forward into life, sometimes doing the next, she says, just do the next right thing. And she said that next right thing may be to brush your teeth. You may be in such a funk and you're such a holdout that you can't even move forward, or taking a shower, which always makes you feel better. Do something that has nothing to do with the thing, but that makes you feel better as a human being.
Right.
So that's one of the things that she mentioned. And in that same talk, this is one of my favorite talks that she ever gave, she said that if you imagine that there's a spotlight on the next step, it's only going to show you the very next step. Stop looking way ahead of that step and just do the very next step. And she said that you are only going to be shown really the very next step in that spotlight. The rest of it is darkness, but you're going to trust that it's out there, but you have to take that first step. And sometimes the first step is just waking up or getting out of bed or, you know, walking one step from here to there. And
yes.
So that creates a momentum that's going to get you to get to the other places. So
you know,
I like
it's
that.
Interesting, because there's a lot of the, you know, the teachers out there that talk about this. I think it's either Jack Canfield or Brian Tracy, I can't remember, who talks about we drive within our headlights all the time. When we go out and drive at night in the dark, our headlights only illumine so far in front of us, and we're completely comfortable with that because we know as we go forward, the light's going to shine and it's going to illuminate what's in front of us again, and we drive that way naturally. But with our lives, sometimes we want to see, you know, we want it to be broad daylight all the time. And sometimes we don't have the whole plan and we don't know what to do. And especially when we're having tough times, like, you know, you're ill, someone in your family's ill, you've lost a job, you have financial crunches, all of those times that feel really dark and you don't know what to do, it's about showing up for what you have to do right now. And I posted a quote by one of my favorite writers, Anne Lamott, and it is, "Hope begins in the dark. The stubborn hope that if you just show up and try to do the right thing, the dawn will come. You wait and watch and work. You don't give up."
Wow.
And for people who are going through those dark times, who, you know, whether it's a little dark time, like you're trying to figure out a work project and it just isn't coming together, and, you know, that, or it's a big dark time, like a whole dark night of the soul where you're just, your whole life is, feels like it's blown up, you just watch for what's happening. A couple weeks ago, I think I mentioned even on the show that I went through kind of my own little dark time, and one of the things I watched and noticed is one of my healer friends, Mary Jane, who does beautiful healing through a modality called the Divine Mother healing, which is connecting with the feminine aspects of the divine, you know, the earth, the, you know, if you, Mother Mary, all the versions of the feminine. She reached out to me and she said, "Carol, if we need to do this healing every day, we'll do it every day for 8 or 9 days for you if we need to do this. I'm here for you." And it was one of those things, like, I first thought, well, you know, I can't take up that much of her time, and I mean, you know, and it was like all of that. But if I really looked, there was the light. There was that thing reaching out and saying, "Take this next step." And I had this person just offering me this big gift, and my first impulse of how I am made was to go, "Yeah, I don't need it. I'll be okay. I'll just buck myself up. I'll be fine." And fortunately, I had a friend that goes, "You're not fine right now. You need to lean on someone else." And often the next step is that noticing the help that's right there for you and who's around, or reaching out for the help if you're not getting it, because sometimes we can get in our cave and no one can know what we're going through. And I often hear, you know, like I do give, when I see someone who's really struggling, I will say, "Okay, you know, I will help you, pay me what you can. You know, pay whatever. You know, if it's $5, if it's taking me for a cup of coffee, I'll walk you through this." And then their next breath is, "No one cares about me and no one loves me." And I'll have to back up and go, "Did you not just miss that I just offered you this gift of help and you just basically said no one?" So no one. So watch. It's not only show up for yourself, but when you start showing up for yourself, watch what shows up for you. So often we're like, "Yeah, you know, I can't take that gift," or "No one helps me," or "No one loves me." And we make these all or nothing statements. But if we really focus on how beautifully the universe does show up for us, and every time someone said that to me in a session, and I said, "Wait a minute, I just gifted you a full session, and you're saying no one wants to help you." And they'll be like, "Oh, yeah, well, I wasn't talking about you." And I'm like, "Well, no, 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 back up, because this is really important. This is part of the worldview you're having right now, that the world doesn't want to help you, and you're not acknowledging the help you're getting." So
sometimes we're looking for something that is not ours to do.
Right.
And so if you're in that place where you feel like nothing is coming through, and the answers aren't coming, then maybe you're asking the wrong questions. And maybe there's a cause for pausing to go back within and look at what you're really supposed to be doing, what's really supposed to be happening for you. Because sometimes we want something so badly, and we forget to take a look at whether it's really what we're supposed to be doing or not. And that's a big, deeper journey. But if you're stuck in that kind of way, then there's something there to sit with and to meditate on, or to, you know, just get quiet with and get really honest about what's going on with you and, you know, what you're going after or what you think you want, as opposed to what is calling out to you.
And, you know, I can see, you know, you really, when you're talking about showing up, a lot of times we really have to investigate our self-sabotage. Because, for example, when I was years and years and years ago, when I was pursuing acting in L.A., there would be times that I would do things, like I would be driving to an audition, and I would get so scared, I would turn around and drive home. And
wow.
I didn't show up. I just didn't show up. And I would make up some excuse for my agent, and, you know, I would just not show up. I would self-sabotage. I wouldn't, you know, show up. I remember one of them, it was an audition for Pringles potato chips, I kid you not, and they wanted me to show up dressed as a mother, and the audition was in a swimsuit. Now, SK, we can talk the whole swimsuit thing, and I was much more fit than I am now, but I had been consistently getting messages in Hollywood. I wore a size 4-6, and I kept being told I was a big girl and that I needed to lose weight. That was the repetitive message I got over and over again. So now I've had all these messages about how my body is too big and, you know, I've got good boobs, but I'm too heavy and I'm too, you know, whatever. And now I have to go to an audition to be a mom in a swimsuit, and I have to wear my swimsuit. And I was like, oh, hell no, I'm not doing that. And now when I look back, I was like, I probably was perfect for it. I probably was absolutely perfect for what they were looking for, but in my mind, I let myself talk myself out of showing up. And maybe just even going through that audition of being uncomfortable and being in my swimsuit would have helped me break through some of the other blocks I have. I don't know. I didn't go. I didn't show up. So I think we all have moments where we haven't shown up. And on the other hand, SK, you know, you're writing your book about reinventing Miss America, and you had to show up on that, you know, long walk in a swimsuit and high heels, which is every woman's worst nightmare.
It is. Carol, actually what cracks me up, I'm thinking about that audition you're talking about, and I wonder if anybody showed up that day for them. Because I don't know of any woman who wants to be told she's showing up in a swimsuit. It is just not the thing anybody wants to hear. It's the thing that I know when I was approached to go for Miss Ohio and go to the Miss America pageant, when I was approached initially, I got very sick to my stomach and just basically said no. And why would I do that? There's no way I could possibly do that. That's not who I am. I can't show up in that way. It scared the crap out of me. So that I imagine that Pringles audition, they probably didn't have anybody show up at all. So if you would have shown up, you probably would have had it by default, girlfriend.
I would have booked it, you know.
Booked it. Oh,
now,
my God.
Flash forward a couple years later in my acting auditioning process, I booked a job that was on a show. It was a reality reenactment show called It's a Miracle that used to air on what was the PAX network. It was a, you know, more uplifting kind of Christian television thing where they were doing reenacting real miracles that happened in people's lives. And so I auditioned for it. I got the role, and then they were talking to me about the shoot. And they said, and okay, for your shower scene. And I went, wait a minute, this is Christian television. I'm doing a shower scene? And I actually had to get a nude, like, pair of low panties and a bra with a low back. And so that I could get in the shower, and they could film as though I were nude in the shower. And my day started with, hi, nice to meet you, five men and a female director, sound man, cameraman, you know, assistant director, that. Okay, I'm going to take off my clothes now and get in the shower. And you're going to film.
That sounds great, Carol.
Yeah, but I had moved from not showing up in a swimsuit to being
having to be
nervous,
naked.
But to being naked in a shower. So there you go.
So if you don't show up when you're called for the swimsuit, it's going to get worse. So you might as well just do it. Just show up. I thought you were going to say when you were asked to do the shower scene, I thought you were going to say the first thing you did was punch the guy in the face. I mean, that was my initial reaction, but that's just me. Oh, my gosh. So there you go. Well, you know what they say? If you don't pay attention to the messages that you're getting that are being whispered to you, then it will escalate into something that is catastrophic, that will push you into the direction that you're supposed to be going. Yeah. And whether it's, for me, in a very, very bad first marriage where I actually heard an audible voice in my head telling me to get out of the house. I mean, honestly, it sounded like somebody was standing next to me, and they started, whoever was trying to help me on the invisible started shouting at me, and I was like, wait a minute, this is really creepy, but that will happen, or an event will happen, and it could be, you know, maybe you have to, you know, break a foot, or maybe you have to stub a toe, or maybe something has to happen to keep you from doing something, or to get you to go do something. So if you don't pay attention and you ignore it, and you don't show up, it's not going to go away. What was it? Somebody posted on Facebook, it was just this morning, and I've seen it before, that if you don't deal, if you just try to stuff down the stuff, the darkness, or the things that you're not dealing with, they do not go away. That's the same thing with this showing up business. If you don't take care of business, it is not going to magically go away. It just doesn't work that way. Am I right, Carol?
Absolutely. And you know that from like the energy healing and the work that I do is the most of what I'm doing to help people process. It's like all the stuff I talk to people about. It's like we all have suitcases we sit on where they're like big steamer trunks, and something happens in life and we go, nope, don't want to deal with that. We put it in the suitcase. We sit on the top of the suitcase and we go, la-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But all that energy, that suitcase is really our body. Everything we're shoving down energetically goes somewhere in our body and actually is on our energy body, whether you want to call it the soul, the light body, even that comes into our body. So everything from past lives is there on that body, that light body, that energy body, the soul. So what we're doing a lot of times in the process to free people to be show up now is to unpack all the stuff that they stuffed. Now, the good thing about the energy work versus therapy is we don't necessarily have to talk about, oh, and then I was two, and then I was three. We're actually working on the energetic level to help people unpack all those ways they, you know, stuffed things down. Because the way you stuff things down prevents you from fully being present to show up now. It's like carrying that big steamer truck around and trying to run a marathon. You know, you've given yourself a bigger task. So, yeah, I love the clients, and SK has been one of those in the past, where people come in and go, you know what, I'm ready to unpack. Let's go. You know, let's just go deep. Let's just get rid of it. Because so many of us, we were so afraid of what we pushed down before, we're afraid to open, you know, don't open the closet, don't open the trunk, don't let them out. And I posted a great quote on Facebook, a picture of a great quote the other day, which was, if you can't keep your skeletons in the closet, take them out and dance with them. And I love that because it was like, oh, yeah, we need to do that because we need to just embrace the parts of being human. It's a George Bernard Shaw quote. If you can't get rid of the skeleton in your closet, best to take it out and teach it to dance.
Wow. Well, hey, speaking of quotes on the Facebook page, we have a live chat happening there right now. If you're listening to the show live, you can jump on the Facebook page, on our event page, And you can post a question or a comment or a resource or anything that you find that would be helpful to the conversation. We'd love to hear you. We have an amazing community of people that joins us. A lot of good information. A lot of healers join us. A lot of people who are looking for healing. And so it's a really great community. So you can join us there. And Carol, can you tell us how people can call in if they actually want to ask a question or talk to us?
Absolutely. If you're listening on the web and you want to call in, the phone number is posted on the event page, but I'll also give it here in case you don't want to. You're listening on the Instant Teleseminar page, and you just want to get the phone number right now. It is 425-440-5100. 425-440-5100. And then you're going to need a PIN code, which is 986-223-POUND. 986-223-POUND. One last thing, *2 to raise your hand. So if you're listening on the phone and you want to talk to us and say hello, press *2. It will tell me on the phone control that you want to talk with us. And if you just are listening, then we won't bug you. We'll just let you continue to listen and be able to just hear all our wonderful, wonderful wisdom that we have here, or all our insane conversations. I'm never sure which it is, but we'd love to have you join us. And we'd love to have you, if you're shy about talking on the radio or on this, you know, podcast, please come over to the Facebook event page. The Facebook event page, the easiest way probably to find us today is to just type in the Facebook search bar, Dancing with Life Radio, and then it's paren showing up with Carol Woodliffe and Susan K. Wyatt. If you start typing Dancing with Life Radio, it should, the event, today's event should pop up, and you can just pop right on over to us. The event page is also listed on the Instant Teleseminar page. So if you're listening to us live there, if you look down in the description of the show, the event page is there. And we'd love to have your comments, your questions, comment on one of our posts. It's all here for you today. One of the other quotes I posted on our event page today is a Brian Tracy quote that he said, "I found that luck is quite predictable. If you want more luck, take more chances, be more active, show up more often." If you want more luck, take more chances, be more active, show up more often. Or as Robert Kiyosaki of Rich Dad Poor Dad said, fail faster. You know, learn to fail faster, because the more you just get in there, show up, fall down, get back up, try it, don't do it as well as you'd like to do, the more you do that, the more you're building that practice, and the more you're going to develop your skills on being there and showing up with life. So, and we are talking on Dancing with Life Radio right now on the Creating Calm Network, and we really want to talk about this thing about how do we embody our whole selves? How do we, as we talked on the top of the show, go big? And by go big, I mean embodying everything you came here to be, your whole spirit essence. It is not about necessarily, you know, being the, you know, famous one, or, you know, making the most money, unless that's part of your telechy, as they talk about, the acorn becomes an oak tree. So if the seed in you is to be a great political leader, or to be a great actress, or to be a great orator, or whatever that is, that's there planted already, and we want to help develop the courage to show up, to embody all that we are here to be. And I'm doing that with myself. I don't consider myself an expert. I consider myself a guide who may have taken some steps that you haven't taken, but you may be able to teach me just as much as I can teach you. It's why this show is a chat format and not
a lecture.
Not just, sometimes I get in lecture, but it's why we're chatting and we're not going,
yeah,
oh, learn this. Because if you have a quote to share, if you have an experience to share, we'd love to hear from you. I know so many of you are listening on replay. I get emails after the fact all the time. But if you're on with us live and you want to share, please, or even after the event, you can still get to that event page, and it will let Susan Kay and I know that you posted so that, you know, we can still have a conversation with you after the fact. SK, you're back.
I am back, and I am back home, and we got safely home from the L.A. traffic, which is actually not a bad thing. I actually I enjoy being in the car because that's part of life here, and I don't have an issue with it. So it was fun. It was fun being in the car, but it's fun to be home. And it's fun because Elizabeth, my daughter, who's 13, most of you know, she listens in the car, and I asked her if she wanted to participate, and she said no, but she certainly enjoys listening to the show, and that's not something she normally does. So that's kind of fun to share that with her. You know, the whole showing up thing when you're, and we always talk about this too, it all kind of comes back around to, you know, who you are hanging out with and who are the people in your life and who are your people and where does your help come from? Where does your support come from? Or where does your inspiration come from? And if you're in a place where you are not sure, and that is the reason why you're not showing up, the first thing, you know, the first step is always to sit with that. And to say, I am open and I am ready. And even just saying that out loud, whether it's your own mantra of prayer to whatever, whether it's the universe or whether you think it's God or whatever you call it in your spiritual journey or non-spiritual journey, that you say it out loud. The energy is there around saying, not just please help me, but I'm ready and bring it on. That's what I say when I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Bring it on. Show me the way. I'm ready to see it. And just those positive affirmations in the form of not begging and not asking and not in the negative form. Say, I am ready. Don't talk about what you don't want to see happen because that's not good energy. But talk about or say out loud and focus on what would bring you great joy. And I think that, you know, the vibrating at that level, we talk about this a lot. Jerry and Esther Hicks, Ask and It Is Given, and there are a lot of metaphysical teachers who talk about this, at that vibrating at that level. But when you are in the energy of people who vibrate at that level and really support you in your dreams and your desires, then it's going to put you in that space where you are going to be closer to vibrating at the place where they're going to be able to find you. And whether you're going to be where you're going to be able to see that next step. But if you put yourself in a place where you're with negative people or you, you know, you keep yourself from being with people who can help you. I mean, I know isolation is a very dangerous thing, and I'm a person who is an isolator, so I can speak from personal experience. If you are doing that, you know, think about affirming that you are open to the right people coming into your life. And not doesn't mean a crowd of people. It might be the next right thing, you know. It might be just talking to the mailman when he comes to the door with a really wonderful package that's filled with cash. Right, Carol?
Right. That would be great. And I do want to say the universe works in really surprising ways. And I don't know whether – have I told my book cover story on this radio show? I don't know whether I have, but – you know, I was writing From Scared to Sacred. I was writing the book, and I kind of got in my mind, I'm a very much a person both of earth and spirit, and the book is about how do we dance with our spiritual growth and our human needs and our human frailties and all of that at the same time. And, you know, when I subtitled the book Lessons in Learning to Dance with Life, the obvious cover would be, you know, to a woman dancing or, you know, two parts of yourself dancing. And I was like, yeah, I don't like it. That's not what I want. I want something else. And
right.
I didn't know what I wanted, but I'm like, I don't want the obvious, you know, line drawing of women dancing or a ballerina or any of that. I didn't want that. And so I said to, you know, myself, I'm just going to start looking at art, which was the next step, which was showing up. So I got on the internet and I typed in dancing art, and I, you know, got all the dancers, but then I found this picture, which was called Dancing Tree Spirits, and it was stunning, but it is in reds and oranges, and it's almost like a stormy sky and two trees, you know, hanging on to each other for dear life. And I was like, okay, that's not quite the energy I want for my book, but I love this picture. I'm going to clip it. I'm going to put it aside. When I find my cover artist, I'm going to show that person all the art I've clipped and say, I want something. This is what I like about this. This is what I like about that. And I'm going to tell them. So that was my next showing up. My next step was, okay, I'm clipping the art. And then a friend of mine said to me, you know, I was at this art auction, and everything I liked by the artist she had already sold, and I was talking to her, and she said, the artist, by the way, is Patricia Krebs and does amazing work. So she's on Facebook, and you can look her up online. She's got amazing, amazing, whimsical, kind of spirit-based work. And my friend said, I really wanted something, but it was all sold. And Patricia said to my friend Michelle, she said, well, I will do a commissioned piece for you. I won't recreate exactly what I've already painted, but I'll do a commissioned piece for you. And the little light bulb went off in my head, and I went back to that picture of those really dramatic trees that I loved that spoke to my heart, and I went online. I found that picture, and fortunately the person who had posted the picture had posted a link to Annie's website. And I went to her website, and I saw her other art, and I'm like, oh, my word. I don't know if I can afford her. I don't know how famous she is. She lives in England. She's in Cornwall. And I'm like, okay. So I thought, okay, what the hell? I'll just type a note to her, and she's probably going to think I'm crazy as I type, hi, you don't know me. I live in Los Angeles. I'm writing a book. I saw your painting, Dancing Tree Spirits. It's lovely. It's not quite right. Do you do commission work? I'm not sure I can afford you, but I'd love to talk to see if we can talk about whether there'd be a collaboration for a book cover.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, I get an email back from her. She goes, love, this is the weirdest thing. 3 weeks ago, I was at a psychic fair, and they said, you're going to be working with a shaman.
Oh.
And she said, I don't know any shamans. And my email then comes into her and says, you know, this thing. And my email signature says shaman, author, shaman, healer, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
And Annie and I had a great collaboration doing the book cover. But you understand, I didn't know that I was going to be, I didn't say, oh, I think I'm going to go search down an artist in England who is going to be a soul sister. I said, I need art for my book, and I don't want traditional dancers. I want
right.
something else. And then I showed up for the next step, which was, let me look and see what my potential something else could be, and I'll find an artist from that. And so that idea of showing up in the carpet unfolding that we were talking about, and then
yes.
all of a sudden there's this beautiful spirit coincidence that it just like sparks in the universe. You know, there's these little fireworks, and wow, look what the universe did. And when every time I look at my book cover, and I actually have a print of the cover art on my wall in my living room, it just makes me smile, and it makes me know that when I show up and trust, the universe provides amazing miracles.
Well, and also, Carol, I think the thing that needs to be pointed out here very,
right.
very clearly is that you didn't just pray about it and hope that it shows up at your front door.
Right.
You did some footwork, and you did some searching, and you just tried one thing and another thing and another thing. You didn't just sit there, and you didn't just settle for the first thing. And I think that when you focus on something, once you get your focus, you start to look for things, and then you start to search for things. That's when things are going to come across your path. And so if you're really frustrated and you feel stuck and it feels impossible, like we said, do the first thing. The first thing is to have to focus the intention on what you're looking for. And then once you get that intention focused, then ideas will come to you about the next step of your search. But you have to be focused on it for in order for that to happen. It can't, it's not, there's not a magic wand anywhere. And once again, I think we've talked about this many, many times, but if you go to some people, they want to go to a psychic or a healer and expect them to fix things or to tell them the magic number or the magic place or the number of the person, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, that just doesn't happen, and unless somebody is taking you for a ride. So the answers are within you. That's the one thing that is one of the most important things that we need to really get back to. The answer, Carol, when you were doing all of that, it was within you, and what you were seeking ended up was seeking you as well. And so the point I wanted to make is that you put the work into and the intention first, followed by the footwork, followed by
right.
the searching, and followed by not giving up on looking for the answer for the particular thing that you
right.
wanted to find.
And that's the showing up. And, you know, there's that other form of showing up where you have to just, like, you know, you talk about, like, okay, you're going to just show up for karate. I have it when it's, like, working out. Sometimes I have to give myself, okay, you're going to do this for 10 minutes. And if after
right.
10 minutes it still feels awful, you can quit. But normally once I've, you know, been out walking, hiking, you know, on a treadmill for 10 minutes, I'm ready. I'm good to go. I can do more. But it's like
yeah.
that kind of teasing myself to say, okay, giving myself the out. You know, I'll sit down and write. You know, in my writer's groups, I'm always like, set a timer for 20 minutes. You know, if because often in the writing groups, when people – when the timer goes off after 20 minutes in our writing exercises, they're like scribbling, trying to get everything down because we're moving on. And they're like, wait a minute, I've got the flow going. Now I want to keep with this. So there is that thing about showing up for a small period of time that allows
yeah.
you then to get through the resistance. It's also like we're, like sometimes, I'm pretty extroverted, but sometimes with the energy work I do and how sensitive I am, going to parties can sometimes be an effort. And if I've had a long week to get myself up and going and out among people because I pick up so much energy, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. So I'll tell myself, you know what, you only have to go for an hour. You can leave after an hour. SK, have I ever been to a party at your house and only left after an hour? No.
Never.
It's like, once I get there and start talking with people, I love it. But in the initial energy phase of it, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I have it tonight. But then,
yeah.
once again, spirit, your energy meets you in that moment. And if I were really tired, I would have had no problem going, I really wanted to come to your party because you invited me, whatever. And I'd go home if I didn't feel good. But
right.
a lot of times that energy is just the anticipation, and we need to bust through that, whatever that discomfort is, to know and to be able to go big, to be able to live our purpose, to be able to do what the Schultz Show is about, to be able to really dance. You have to learn how to misstep. You know, if you look at
right.
the beautiful dancers, I love watching Dancing with the Stars because I love watching the people much more that came in as not dancers at all. And
yes.
then to see them improve that incrementally and watch the hard work and the tears. And then when one of them does that elegant ballroom dance or that fun, cheeky salsa and they really get it, it to me it's mm-hmm. the affirmation of our spirit and what we can do when we show up and when we push ourselves a little bit.
Yeah. No, it's true. And the same thing with Elizabeth and I. We have been in karate for, gosh, almost 6 years. And that night, that Monday night, my funny story about it is because her camp goes so long for 3 weeks, we can't go to the 5 o'clock class. And the only other class that we can make it to during the week that we can actually, you know, fit in is a teen class. So now I'm a 49-year-old woman, and I'm taking karate with my daughter usually in an advanced class that has a lot of different people in it, but mostly young people. I'm definitely the oldest person in the class. So it was kind of funny because as we showed up, I had to laugh because I was like, yes, I'm in the teen class. I'm proudly being a teenager right now. And it was like, I had to get past it. But the beautiful thing about being there was that because it wasn't an advanced class, we were with some people who were at a much different level, a lower level, where we had been, you know, a while ago. And if you ever wanted to have a really good feeling about how far you've come, that was the other thing that we took away from there is like, wow, you know, I was once a blue belt. I was once a green belt. And now I'm an advanced brown belt that is getting ready to take my black belt test. And there was just that sense of, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize how far I had come. And so showing up for that class, it was a little bit embarrassing for me. But I was like, look, I need to go to class, and this is the only one that I can make. So I'm going to go to the
class. So you're going to show up there. And Karen, our friend Karen Busco is posting on the event wall, and she posted a James Caan quote, which says, showing up every day isn't enough. There are lots of guys who show up every day who shouldn't have showed up at all. And I agree that just physically showing up somewhere isn't enough. You know, just,
right.
You know, like you can't just go to karate and go, well, I walked into the dojo. You know, I'm, you know, this counts. I think it's showing up fully versus phoning it in, or being physically present versus showing it up all in, fully.
Right.
In
well,
game.
I have to talk to Elizabeth about that because she's getting a little frustrated with the journey, the karate journey.
Uh-huh.
And I tell her, I say, you know what, we're going to go, but you can't be. You really need to shift. I call it shifting. I said, you got to shift. You got to shift out of this. The bad energy, because if you show up when we get there, you're going to be miserable the whole time. And if you're miserable the whole time, it's not going to be a good experience, and it's going to affect everyone around you. And furthermore, it's going to make it no fun for me, because I don't like it when people make it no fun for me. So showing up, it's like, now it's about me. So if you're going to be in a really pissy mood, you might as well stay home, because I don't really want to deal with that. Because I feel, as a person who's much older than you, I feel a lot more intrepidation. I feel a lot more fear. I feel a lot more resistance. I'm a lot more tired than you will ever know. And I'm going to show up, and I'm going to be in a good mood, and I'm going to be open to what I'm going to learn today. And, you know, just know that Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, we're going to do a spinning crescent kick, and we're going to suck at it the first 100 times we do it. And then suddenly something's going to click, and when it does, it's going to be magical. But it's not going to be easy, and most of the time it's not going to be that much fun unless you decide that it is. And so there's that decision. I think the same thing is just, you know, with working out in general, when you're talking about, you know, physical fitness or trying to get your body in shape or keep your body in shape to stay healthy, or for whatever reason anybody wants to do that, it is not an easy thing to do. It is a very difficult thing to do, and you can find that place where you hit that runner's high, where they talk about that. And I'm a part-time runner. I mean, I don't run very far. I'm a 5K runner. And I have experienced the runner's high, but not a lot. Most days it's really hard to do. And
when I do have it,
it's really great. But I still show up, and I still, you know, get through it. Even my husband, who has been running his whole life, he used to be in track and field, among a lot of other things. But he'll come back from a run, and I'll go, how was your run? He'll go, it was horrible. It was hard. But he pushed through the whole thing, and then he still goes out the next day. You know, so it's not always easy for him either. And so that's just the point of it is it's just not easy. It isn't.
And I think one of the things where New Age spirituality can get people tripped up, it's that thing we talked about where, oh, I have a vision of a book cover. I have a vision of a book cover. I have a vision of a book cover. It's going to come to me. That person's going to show up for me. And not taking the action. And not, you know, doing that. Or the idea that if you are aligned enough with spirit, everything is going to be ease and grace. You know, you're never going to huff and puff up the hill. You're never going to, you know, there's that really what I call disconnection from the human plane of life. And
right. The
shamanic talks about there's three planes of life. There's the underworld, which is the subconscious. It's your soul contracts. It's all the all the stuff that's going on, your family history, it's all down there. It's the stuff that's in the suitcase. Then there will, in my tradition, they call the kaipacha, or the actual real world, the physical things that are happening, and then there's your higher spirit, your vision, your higher self. Well, a lot of people in the New Thought tradition who don't really apply it well, who apply it and they go, well, it's all divine and I'm all up here, and that, and they're not handling the real human challenges. And the idea that, yes, if you want to learn to you want to run a marathon, all that training, there's going to be pain to it. It's not all ease and grace. You can make it more ease and grace by how your mind is, but there's going to be tough things. And so I think today's show, if nothing else, is about saying, you know, in this human plane, in this dance with life, we have to show up sometimes for things that we're like, ooh, I wish I didn't have to, or, ooh, that looks hard, or, boy, I'm tired when I think about that, or just even Karen made a comment that she has a hard time because of the timing of the show to get to the show live. And it's like, you know, just noticing how life sometimes conspires, the things you most want to do. If Karen wants to be on the radio listening to us, or wants to be able to call in, and how that thing she wants also, like her boss wants her to complete something and something else happens, and that really is life. You know, to think that you're going to get your mind so aligned that you're never going to have a conflict of schedule, or you're never going to have to choose between two really good things. Have you ever noticed how, like, you can go several weekends without anything to do, and then everybody throws a party or has an event the same weekend? I mean, what is that? You know, I can go 3 weekends, and I'm just kind of like, what do you want to do? You want to go to dinner? You know, nothing big. And then all of a sudden, it's like a friend's in a play, a friend's having a birthday party, and everything's happening at the same time. And part of being an adult is having to go, wow, lots of choices. I can't do them all as much as I would like to do them all. I can't be in all those places at once. If I could figure out this bi-location or tri-location thing, I'd be good, but I can't. So
we can't do that. But we can, if you can't be here live, you can always listen to the radio show later. And also, for those of you who are listening, even if you're listening to it later or listening to it live, if you love the show, please share it with your friends or a friend, or, you know, like us on, go to our Facebook page and share there, or you can tweet about it. We have all of that going on, and the more people that we can get to, the better, you know, the better it is. I mean, because we're word of mouth, and you're our people. So if you love it, share it, and just know that we're so grateful that you're here. And again, that Facebook event page is for, it's our community forum, and we have an amazing community of like-minded people that join us there and post. You know, it could be a resource. It could be something, a question. It could be something that you just want, you know, some response to. Or if you're looking for some kind of healing work and you want to take it deeper, Carol Woodliffe, your lovely hostess of the show, is a shaman. We talk about that, but she does do phone appointments, Skype appointments. She also does in-person appointments if you are here in Los Angeles, if you are looking to try that kind of healing modality. I can personally recommend it. But the other thing is that doesn't seem right to you, but you are drawn to going to someone for some type of healing work, we want to hold sacred space that you find that person or that healing that works for you, that gets you to that place where you can dig deeper, you can unpack that luggage that you've been stuffing down, and, you know, at least get it to the place where it's on, like, a nice little roll-on that you can roll around.
I think we all have our little roll-ons. I don't think we ever, you know, our little backpack. You know, we all have our little stuff, and that's what makes us, you know, part of the human experience, is we all have our stuff. So I would never say that you're going to unpack it all, but if you're lugging around a steamer trunk, or, you know, if you're over the limit, the weight limit for your flight, meaning, you know, how now we have, you can only have 50 pounds in your suitcase, and if you're over, it's really expensive. If you need to unload some of the stuff in the suitcase, find a way to do it, and it can start with as simple as of a question as, what thought am I hanging on to that if I shifted that thought today, it would lighten the load for me? So you can do healing, but sometimes just asking the right questions, what thought am I holding about this experience or life that I shifted if I decided to make it a little bit a different thought? One of the things I consistently tell my clients is you keep rewriting your story. You keep shifting the energy around the story of your life until it really feels like you don't need the story at all, until you're just here present in this moment. But as long as you have experiences, and I know there are people who have deep wounds, and when I say this, I never want to minimize the darkness that people can have experienced.
Right.
It's just that there are ways to unpack it and maybe go from a steamer trunk to a big Samsonite, and then you go from the big Samsonite to the roller bag, and then you go from the roller bag to a little backpack, and then maybe you have a little purse, and then maybe it's down to a clutch. And, you know, let's take our luggage analogy, and then you have that little evening bag, and someone says something, and you go, yep, that's the stuff that's in the clutch. That's my place. That's my thing.
That's the button. That's the button that got pushed.
That's the button.
But speaking of that, buttons that are pushed, we'd like to take a moment. I like the part of the show, and I know we're getting pretty close to the end here, but if Carol could do a quick meditation for us, just internalize these ideas, take a deep breath, and just think about these things and in the silence and listen to Carol's voice and take us into that place where we can just go a little bit deeper with this concept.
Absolutely. So everyone, if you're driving, listening to this on the phone while you're driving, or if you're listening to this on a podcast and you're in your car, please do not close your eyes. Stay present with the road and everything around you. But if you're listening in a place where you can safely close your eyes and take a few nice deep breaths, and let the breath out. Let each out breath be a little bit like a long sigh. Focus more on the letting go with that out-breath than you will on the in-breath, because if you let go with the breath long and full, you'll naturally get a nice deep breath in. And come present into this moment in the room or the space you are right now. Show up fully in this moment, in this breath as you let it out. And as you breathe in, ask for the guidance, the assistance to have your eyes wide open, your body fully in this moment, and fully in the next steps you need to take that you desire for your life. Think about one thing, whether it be a new job, talking to the boss about a project, something with your family, someplace you want to show up in a new way. Show up more fully, embracing the moment, embracing all that you are and all that the other people are who are there with you. Often we get caught up in noticing our own flaws or other people's flaws rather than the beautiful, fully faceted beings that we are. Breathe and imagine where you can actually physically do it, that you're opening your arms to embrace life, to show up. Here I am. Here I am, highest self, great spirit, universe. I'm showing up. I'm here. I'm fully present. I'm willing to embrace and dance with my life. Just notice what that energy is as you put your arms out and you say that. Here I am. I'm willing. I'm showing up to fully embrace and dance with my life. A few nice deep breaths, coming back into this moment, this time, this place. Wow, I could feel the energy of that. I don't know if Nick could feel that, but there was
good
a
stuff.
Good stuff.
That was
we're going to run
stuff today.
A little bit over so we can do good closing comments today. I really, if you like what we're doing, you can find all the back shows at dancingwithlife.creatingcalmnetwork.com. So that will take you right to our archive page, and that will actually, if each week you're listening and you don't have a chance to get to Facebook and see what the Instant Teleseminar event is, that page will get you to the most current show when it's about ready to air. It'll be queued up and it will just zip you right over to Instant Teleseminar, so you don't have to have all those numbers and event IDs and all that kind of stuff. You can just go to dancingwithlife.creatingcalmnetwork.com. And we chat while you're on creatingcalmnetwork.com, check out some of the other hosts, see what some of the other great shows we have going on. And we always love having you listen to us. If you're listening to this as a podcast and you're you have any comments and you can't find us on Facebook, you can go to my website, which is carolwoodliff.com. And you can send me a note from there if you have anything you'd like to share. We'd love to hear from you. SK, any closing comments?
Well, I'm just glad I showed up today, Carol. And
I am
happy
too.
To be here. I'm grateful for this time we have together and for all of our listeners and all of our friends and just for this life in general. I just feel extremely blessed and just remain in gratitude for our friendship and for this show. So thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we will see you, hear you next time.
Next week, same bat time, same bat channel, and we just wish you the best week. So have a good one, everyone. Keep dancing. Bye.